Okay, this is July 2nd, and the topic this month is attitude.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Such is the nature of life, that all it asks and all it wants is an opportunity to appear. You are that opportunity, and so am I. It is the purpose of this teaching to make us aware of that. What do we mean by that? What we mean by that is we are one with this thing that we call God. God is in us, as us, and through us. God and I are one in the same thing. This is what we were trying to teach. We teach all kinds of other things in this teaching, but the main point is to realize that this thing called God is not separated from you. There's not you and God. There is you as God, or God as you, whichever way you want to do it. That we teach so that you know that you have that power, that this power is within you. You don't have to go looking for it someplace else. It is not outside of you. This thing called God is not on a cloud somewhere where you are trying to get God to listen to you. God is already listening to everything that you're doing. I found this today, and this is from Joel Goldsmith, if anyone is familiar with Joel Goldsmith. We have been hypnotized by our cultural history into believing we are less than the expressions of God. You have to know that you are an expression of God. And we have been hypnotized. You often hear me use the word or the words. We are puppets of our conditioning. We are puppets of our conditioning. We're hypnotized. Society, the culture, and the institutions that we go to hypnotize us into believing what they believe instead of believing what we believe. When I was a child growing up, I had no idea that God was in me, as me, and through me. I thought God was someplace in a city called heaven, and that someday I may be able to get there if I'm good. But that has no longer in my thinking. That is no longer in my belief. I absolutely believe that I am one with God, and God is one with me. And I use that in my everyday life. I remind myself of that on a daily basis. Sometimes I have to remind myself of that on an hourly basis. And that is what I would like each and every one of you to be able to do and have that sink into your consciousness. I used to open the class with, you are gods and goddesses, which is absolutely true. You are gods and goddesses. There's a sentence in the Bible that says, know that ye are gods. You have to know that ye are gods, because we are creative and God is creative. And we also have this wonderful thing that we say, there is only God. And everyone has heard that. There's only God. Well, if there's only God, you must be some part of God. There can't be, see, God and you, or you and God. There is only one ever. One intelligence, one power, one mind. And that's God. And we're using the mind of God. We are using this in our own life. And we are individualized expressions of this thing called God. Therefore, you have all heard we are made in the image and likeness of God. This is absolutely true, but we are made in the image and likeness of God inwardly. Inwardly. God does not look like a human being. God is not a human being. In fact, we do not know exactly what God is. We have bits and pieces of little things, knowledge we can call it, of what we believe this power is, this wisdom is, this intelligence that's in the universe. And also, well, I bring this up, since we're teaching one, or we're teaching unity here, when I use the word universe, that is synonymous with God. You can't have God and the universe. You can have God as the universe, but you cannot have separation of any type. This teaching, it's a metaphysical teaching, and it does not teach separation. Brand name religions teach separation. They do not want you to know that you have any power whatsoever, because they want the power. They want the power. You have all the power you need. They tell you that you must go to church, that you must worship God, you must do this, that, and the other thing. This thing called God does not need worship. God is far above that. Far above that. In fact, God is above thoughts and words. That's why it's very hard to describe God. And when we start to describe God, we're using the mind of God, but we have a finite mind. The finite mind that we have is the mind of God, but it's finite. God's mind is infinite. So when you start to reduce God into all these different things, you're taking something that's infinite and you're trying to make it finite. And you cannot do that because God is much bigger than our minds can conceive. But we can get bits and pieces and little things about this, and we can use this power to make our lives better. And that's what this teaching is all about. This teaching is a completely different way to go through life than most people do. Most people are puppets of their conditioning, and they just repeat the same thing. They repeat what they have learned from their parents. They repeat what they have learned from their educational institutions and, of course, from the churches and so forth. They just mimic all that stuff because no one takes time to go into your own mind and figure out what this is all about. It's much easier for somebody to stand up a minister and say, this is what God's all about, and you just lap that up and say, oh, okay, now I don't have to read anything. I don't have to do anything. I'll let this person tell me what it's all about. Find out what God is for you. You are an individualized expression of this thing called God. So make it individual for yourself. How do you think of God? You see, you can call God anything. You can call God Harry. God does not care. I can assure you of that. What God wants for you is the very best. What God is capable of is loving. Loving unconditionally, which is another thing that we cannot understand because we have a finite mind. Very few of us can understand what it means to love unconditionally because we were brought up that conditions were put on it. I will love you if you make your bed. I will love you if you do this. I will do that, da, 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 da. All kinds of things are attached to that. This thing called God just loves. Just loves, 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 loves. And you can feel that. You can get that in your own consciousness. And when you get that in your own consciousness, you will see that when they make that big statement that love is the answer to everything, love will be the answer to everything. That is why also I teach you to love yourselves. You must learn to love yourselves. Loving yourself is the highest form of worship that you can give God. That's why I teach that you must be worthy and deserving, totally lovable, and that you must matter. You must get that into your consciousness, that you absolutely matter to this thing called God, that God would be incomplete without you. God would be incomplete without you. God needs each and every one of us because each and every one of the individual expressions of God come together to make the big thing that we're calling God. But we can use all of that. In unity, they make a wonderful expression, which is called, there's not a spot where God is not. So you can never be outside of God. God is always going to be with you, always going to be there, always going to be helpful, always going to be listening. But you must know that, and you must ask. We fail to ask. I've used this other expression. Most people are trying to work harder than God. Don't try to work harder than God. You cannot do that. That's an impossibility. When you can't figure something out, say to yourself, I can't figure this out, but I know you can, God, so you do it for me. That's that whole idea of surrendering. That's that whole idea of letting go and letting God do it for you. Why in this Dickens, you thought I was going to swear, didn't you? Why in the Dickens would we have something called a god and then not use it? And not use it. Just to worship it and so forth? No. God is above that. God is above any type of worship whatsoever. People think, well, if I worship God and God's going to like me, God's going to like you regardless of what. You can never change the mind of God. You could never change the mind of God. People pray, they run around on their knees, they do all this kind of thinking, aha, I'll change God's mind. You cannot change God's mind, but you can change your mind. God wants good for you. People want to know, what is the will of God? God's will for you is good and greater good. Always good and greater good. And in your own life, you must realize that you're always moving from your good to your greater good. You're always moving from glory to greater glory. So that's that whole thing about this thing called God. And that is what this teaching is about. It's to teach you that you can do these things for yourself and make your life better. That there's a completely different way to go through life than most people do. And that's giving up the conditioning. That's giving up the petty mind. That's giving up the jealousies and the hates and all the things that we were taught and all the things that we see that people do. You know, we think that life is a soap opera because we see those soap operas going on. You can have a soap opera life if you want, or you can have a B-movie life if you want. But why would you want that? Why do you want suffering? Why do you want any of that stuff to come into your life? It is not necessary. This teaching teaches that these things do exist, but they are not necessary. Most people think that we're here on this plane of action to suffer and to learn something from that suffering. We are here on this plane of action to learn to love each other and to learn to love ourselves. That is why we chose to incarnate on this planet. We came here expressly to do that. And that's what we want to teach in this teaching. Learn to love yourself. Learn to know that you are worthy and deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. With that, we will do the matter dance. And for the new people who don't know it, just stand up and it'll come to you. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. Yes, you have to know that you matter. Most people don't know that they matter. Most people think that they are less than. We do not want that happening. We want you to know that you are an individualized expression of this thing called God, and that you are held in the highest of esteem. In the highest of esteem. How do you do that? You have to learn to start with yourself. You have to hold yourself in the highest esteem. You have to fall in love with yourself. When your mind, we're always talking too about mind, and when I say mind, that each and every one of us, this individualized mind that we have, you know that you have mind chatter going on in there. And you know that that mind is always telling you something. Oh, that's wrong. Oh, you did this wrong. You did that wrong. You must control that. You must get that out of your consciousness, that idea that you're doing anything wrong. You have to know that everything that you're doing is in divine right order. Everything that you're doing is in divine right order. And if you make a mistake, you go right back to the idea that everything is in divine right order and you start over again. You do not punish yourself. Because this thing called God does not punish. People think that God punishes, and I hear that. When I go to my home in Pennsylvania, I grew up in a small town in Pennsylvania. My brother still lives there. And he's absolutely convinced that God punishes. And I said to him the last time I was at home, I said, Jack, I would not say that. And he said, well, I wouldn't be so sure of myself, Dallas. I'm absolutely sure of myself that God does not punish. This thing called God never sits in judgment upon itself through you. Do you get it? Never sits in judgment upon itself through you because you are one with it. Why would it punish you in any way? When we punish, when we think that we're being punished, it's our mind that's doing that. We're the ones that are doing that to our own self. God does not punish. Okay, with that said, this month's topic is attitude. And attitude is one of the most important things. Now, you hear in this teaching all the time, change your mind, change your life. I'm going to tell you that that is correct, but I'm also going to tell you, change your attitude and change your life. Attitude is one of the things that you can change. You know when you have an awful attitude. This weekend I had an awful attitude, you know. I was not nice to be around. I had to make that adjustment. I had to sit myself down and say, Dallas, this is not what you want to do. This is not who you want to be. You have to change your attitude. But you have to catch that in your own mind. When your attitude is rotten, you have to learn how to change it. Did I get upset? I got upset for about a moment, but I didn't punish myself about that. I was delighted that I was able to catch it. I did not catch it as quickly as I would have liked to have caught it. But I did catch it. And each time you catch that, you can do it quicker the next time. But it's your attitude. Attitude is one of the most important things. When I was in business, people could come in with wonderful credentials and so forth. But if they had the wrong attitude, they did not get the job. People who came in with less credentials but a wonderful attitude got the job. Because it's attitude that counts. When my Aunt Catherine was 93 years old, she went to the doctor. The doctor said to her, when was the last time you've been to the doctor? And she said, oh, maybe 60 years ago. And he said to her, well, you must have very good genes to live to be 93. She looked at the doctor and said, don't you think attitude has something to do with it? It's your attitude that has something to do with it. I have an aunt right now, and on her aunt, I have a lot of older, ancient people in my family. She lives in Tucson, Arizona at the present moment. She's 93, and I talked to her today on the telephone, and she's ready for the Lord to come get her. She doesn't want to live anymore. Her attitude is off. When my Aunt Catherine was 93 years old, the neighbor man said, I can't wait till I retire. She looked him in the eye and she said, you know, I'd never wish my life away. I would never wish my life away. How many of us think, oh, I can't wait till this happens, that happens, or till I retire? And so that's wishing your life away. Each and every moment of your life is precious. It's a gift to be alive. Use it. Savor that moment. Savor your life. Enjoy your life. It is an absolute gift. And when you're around people, I first of all did not try to talk. Her name is Gunhill. We call her Aunt Gunny. I didn't try to talk her out of it. She's 93 years old. She'll have to figure that one out herself. But I don't stay around people who do not like life. I do not stay around people that want their life to be short. I'm reaching an age where a lot of my people, my friends that I grew up with, are starting to leave this plane of action. I do not want to leave this plane of action. I'm having a grand time for myself here. I want to stay till the cows come home, you know. I just want to stay and stay and stay. But you have to change your attitude. You have to know that you can do that. You have to know all these things. Now let's talk about attitude also with the idea of health and so forth. You have to have an attitude of health. You have to keep your attitude of health going all the time. Don't wait till you're sick and then decide, oh, now I'll get a better attitude. Do it every day. Every day say to yourself, I'm healthy, I'm alive, I'm invigorated. This thing called God is operating through every cell of my body, restoring me constantly to perfect health. You have to do that. You have to get excited. You have to change your attitude. The world teaches you that you're starting to fall apart at a certain age. This is happening and that's happening. And don't let the world tell you those things. Change your attitude about that. I'm going to tell you another cute story about Pennsylvania. We had a man that was 102, and his name was Harvey Taylor. In fact, they named a bridge that crosses the Susquehanna River into Harrisburg called the Harvey Taylor Bridge. So when Harvey was up in his 90s, they interviewed him, and they said, what do you contribute your longevity to? And he said, I'll tell you. He said, I never drank, smoked, or messed with women until I was 12. He had a wonderful attitude about life. He had a sense of humor. He had an attitude. You have to change your attitude. And that's the easiest thing to change when you catch yourself. You know when you're being mean, when you're being nasty, when your attitude isn't right. So just set yourself down and make that attitude adjustment. Make the attitude adjustment. You can do that. We can all do that. It's easier to make an attitude adjustment than it is to change your mind. We say that in this teaching, and you hear it all the time, change your mind, change your life. The problem with that is it's easy to change your mind. It's difficult to keep it changed. It's difficult to keep it changed. Because the world is very convincing. The other thing that's very convincing is your own mind. Your mind is always talking to you, you see. So you have to make it tell you what you want to hear. You have to make it tell you what you want to hear. In Science of Mind textbook, and I believe it's on page 181, I could be wrong, but I'm usually not, page 181, Ernest Holmes says, the whole idea is to learn to think the thought that you want to think. And learn to feel the feeling you want to feel. What thought do you want going on in your mind? What thought do you want going on in your mind? When your mind starts to tell you that you're less than, you've got to change that. You've got to change that. The trouble in the world today is because most people feel less than. And they're taking all kinds of medications, legal and illegal, to cover that up. To cover the idea up that we feel less than. If you feel less than, sit down and change that. You're the only one that can do that. I can sit here and tell you that you're magnificent human beings. I can sit here and tell you that this thing called God absolutely loves you, that you are the beloved in whom it is well pleased. But unless you start to believe that, unless you start to do that for yourself, it makes no difference in the world. It makes no difference. You have to do it for yourself. Life is an inside job, and it's a do-it-yourself project. You have to do it for yourself. When I was a child, we went to Sunday school every Sunday. We heard all this, but no one lived it. No one left it go in. It went in one ear and right out the other. And those people are still doing that today. They go to all the church. My brother and my sister-in-law are in church constantly. But their attitude stinks. They have an awful attitude. They do not like people. See, I always want to know, well, who are you? If you're, you know, they think they're not people. They don't like people. They really don't. That person's awful. This person's awful. That doesn't want to do that. They have no idea that they can change that, because all the people that they are with are doing the same thing. All the people that they're with are doing the same thing. Now, here again, that's metaphysical. You hear, we have expressions in our language. And one of the expressions in our language is birds of a feather flock together, which is a metaphysical thing, because all minds, like minds, always attract. Stay around people that want to uplift you, not pull you down. You don't want this people pulling you down. Years ago, it was very fun. I thought it was very fun to gossip and carry on. I don't gossip and carry on anymore. It's a wonderful book. I've mentioned it many times, and it's called You Cannot Afford the Luxury of a Negative Thought. We can no longer do that to ourselves, because everything has a vibration to it, and those vibrations go someplace and do something. And when we have a poor attitude and so forth, the vibration is at a very low level. A very low level. And that vibration goes out, and what's it going to do? It's going to attract that same low level, and you're going to get people coming to you with a horrible attitude, because the mind always has to confirm everything for you. You see? If I have a low level of thinking and so forth, I'm going to attract people. If I say, the world is horrible, the economy is absolutely rotten, we can't make money, there's nothing, blah, 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 I'm going to get people telling me that. I'm going to get those people. Now I'm convinced. You see, I'm convinced. I have 10 people telling me the same thing. I'm completely convinced that I'm right. Well, you're not right. You have to change that. You have to move up in consciousness, up in your vibrations, up in this energy that you're putting out to the world, so that the right energy comes back to you. That the right energy comes back to you. The world is very convincing. The world itself has a very low level of vibration. That is why that Master Teacher Jesus said, I am in this world, but I am not of this world. You don't want to be of the world. You don't want to be with the petty people, the petty-minded people. You don't want people telling you, oh, the world's going to hell in a handbasket. People have been saying that. We've had doomers and gloomers since day one. You don't want to stay around doomers and gloomers. You can if you know, that's a choice. It's a choice. You can do that if you want. But if you want to raise your consciousness, you have to be around people with a higher consciousness. I use the expression because this teaching, this class started out as abundance and prosperity, including money. And everyone wants, they want money and so forth. You have to stay around then rich people. You have to stay around people with money. If you want money in your life, you don't stay around with people who have no money. How are they going to teach you how to get money? Their vibrations are very low. You have to teach. You have to be around people that have money. You have to be around those people. Otherwise, it's the blind leading the blind. You're going to fall into the ditch. You see? You're going to fall into the ditch. Don't be around people who have a lack and limitation consciousness. Be around people that have an abundant consciousness, where they see abundance everywhere, and you will start to have that abundance. Same way, stay around healthy people and so forth. Stay around the people that you want, so that you can join, you can align yourself with that vibration. You can feel the difference in that vibration, and you can feel these vibrations. This is the way that you change your attitude. This is the way that you can change your life. But you will not change your life if you stay around people with low energy, low vibrations. You want people to build you up so that you can go higher and higher and higher. That is what this teaching is about. And you can do it. Anyone can do it. I did it. And I know if I can do it, anyone can do it. The other thing is, I also remember this. And this came, of course, when I was going to a brand name church. I know perfectly well that God does not show favorites. What God can do for one, God can do for all. So if I can do it, you can do it. And you have to know that. So many times we have, oh, well, that person, they were born with money. They were born here. They had a better education. They have this. Your circumstance has nothing to do with anything. It has nothing to do with anything. It's what you're thinking that has something to do with everything. So build a consciousness of abundance and prosperity. Build a consciousness of health so that you know that you're always whole and complete and perfect. You can build those things in your own life. You're saying? It's the old story. You can lead a horse to water, but you cannot make it drink. The horse has to drink itself. I can tell you all these things, but I cannot think for you. You have to start to think for yourself, and you have to start to think differently about yourself. And it can be done. That's the only way you're going to change, if that is what you want to do. And I'm thinking that that has to be what you want to do, or you wouldn't sit in this class and let me babble on and on and on. You'd get up and say, he's full of it. You're saying, learn to change your attitude about yourself. Do you hold yourself in the highest of esteem? Do you have a good attitude about yourself? Can you be thrown off track if somebody says something hateful to you? You say, what other people think about you is none of your business. Don't worry what other people are thinking. It's what you're thinking that counts. Always what you're thinking. Well, he said this about me and that about me. Who cares? Who cares? What did you say about yourself? What did you say about yourself? That's that whole idea. There's only one. We look different, and we assume that there are many, but there is only one. There's only one, and we are all expressions of the one. So when we hold ourselves in the highest of esteem, we align ourselves with the thoughts of God. So we learn to think God thoughts after it. Learn to think God thoughts after it. Say to yourself, oh, how would God handle this situation? How would God handle this? And then start to think those thoughts about yourself. Instead of letting your mind say, well, now, how would my mother and father handle this? How would my teacher handle this? How would the world handle this? You want to learn to think differently so that you're able to change your attitude about yourself. And don't you love to be around people with a wonderful attitude? It's fun. It's fun to be around people with a wonderful attitude. It's not fun to be around those other people. Who wants to be around them? Let them go someplace else. That's not your job. That is not your job to be around those people. Oh, I think I'll be around that person. He's miserable. Let him be miserable. It's his choice. I could sit here and be very miserable. I could sit here and be on the pity pot. I could do all those things. I'm choosing not to do that. I'm choosing not to do that to myself. I happen to like myself. I happen to like this life I'm living. Why would I want to poo-poo it? Why would I want to do that to myself? You want to get the very best out of yourself, and the very best out of this life. You want to be able to savor every moment of your life so that you're not wishing it away. You're not waiting. You know, many people, like the aunt that I just talked to, she is waiting to leave. Now, where she thinks she's going to go is absolutely beyond me, but I don't get into that. You know, I don't know, you know, you can't go anywhere. There's nowhere to go, because there's only the moment, remember? There's only the moment. You're only ever going to be here. Even when you think you're not here, you're here. There's no place to go, people. There's no place to go. Now, I'll give you another little thing that I absolutely love, and this is by Eckhart Tolle, if you know. He wrote a book called The Power of Now. And he said, so many people, and I think I do this myself, are waiting. I said, well, I'll do that next year, or I'll do that next week, or I'll learn that, and I'll change, and so forth. Because we think we have time. We don't have time. If you don't do it now, you're not going to do it. You don't have time. You have to do it now. This moment. Change your mind. Change your attitude. You can do it. We all can do it. And we have to do it. But we're convinced by the world, and we're certainly convinced by our own mind. Now, we've heard this, and I've said this so many times, and this comes from Mary Baker Eddy. She said, you must argue with your mind like a lawyer before the court, and you must always make sure that you win. You must always make sure that you win. And see, we allow our minds to win. We allow our minds to tell us we're less than. We allow our mind to tell us that we're not connected to this thing called God. That goes back to the little saying from Joel Goldsmith that I read earlier. We have been hypnotized by our cultural history into believing we are less than the expressions of God. Less than the expressions of God. You see, I'm all for the heathens and so forth before Christianity and stuff came in. They had a connection to everything. They knew that they were connected to things. When Christianity came in, they said, you're not connected to a damn thing, so just forget that. You're out here, you're a piece of chopped liver. Well, I think they really said, you're the worms of the earth. We've got to get over that. We've got to get over that. We've got to know that we are magnificent human beings. Magnificent beings. Why don't we just say that? You're a magnificent being. Absolutely. Change your attitude. Change your life. And we all can make those attitude adjustments. I have to make them. And this weekend, it was really, I mean, I was back to square one. I mean, I was, thank God I was by myself. Because I was not a nice person.
Did you swear?
I didn't swear. I didn't swear. I'm getting better with that. But I noticed what I was doing, and I did say, oh, thank goodness, no one's around that knows me, because I was turning into a mean, bitter, hateful human being. And it was only my attitude doing that. Nothing was going my way. Everyone was against me. I just sit down and say, Dallas, this is nonsense. You're bringing that on yourself, because that was my vibration going out. That was my energy going out. And that was the energy that's going to come back to you. You see? What you put out, you're going to get back. It's all that's what it is. People want to know why their lives are this, that, or the other thing when they're sitting there on the pity pot. Well, you better get off the pity pot, because the only thing that's going to come to you is more pity. Is more pity. So, don't do that to yourselves. All right, I have some cards. Every thought you have about yourself has an energetic component. Every thought you think about yourself has an energetic component. So think good thoughts about yourself. Think good thoughts about yourself. You don't have to think them out loud if you think somebody's going to say, oh, well, you're full of it. Do it for yourself and do it to yourself and see the difference. You can do it. I sat down and changed it. Changed my attitude over the weekend. It was almost Saturday, you know. Horrible, horrible situation. Not only that, it makes you ill. It absolutely made me feel bad. I didn't like it. I didn't enjoy it. I didn't. I was nasty. I was just plain rotten nasty. Who wants to be plain rotten nasty? No one. Determine if your words and actions match the truth of your inner thoughts. Remember words. I keep saying that to you. Words structure thought. You have to have the correct vocabulary if you're going to change your life, if you're going to change your attitude. 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, when I was read about Queen Elizabeth, it said her wealth is unfathomable. Now, isn't that a wonderful word? Add that to your vocabulary and say that my wealth is unfathomable. You have to be able to get that into your consciousness. You see? It's the words. Words structure thought. And thoughts structure reality. You get it? Words structure thought. And thoughts structure reality. So change that. Here again, I always pinpoint this. People want abundance and prosperity. But they're thinking lack and limitation. You cannot think lack and limitation and expect prosperity. You can't. It's a different vibration. You have to get your vibration right. There's one and two. Oh, there's one. If you desire spiritual consciousness, then you need to be more in harmony with your spiritual source. Your spiritual source meaning God. You have to be in alignment with God. You have to learn to think God thoughts after it. Now, what are some of the things that we attribute to this source or this thing that we call God? This is a source of love, kindness, joy, beauty, non-judgment, creativity, and endless abundance. Think of that word, endless abundance. You see? Isn't that a wonderful? How many people think of endless abundance? We just say abundance. Endless abundance. This planet that we're on is abundant in everything. Abundant in everything. Why there is anyone going without is because of consciousness. Here again, the master teacher, Jesus, said, the poor will always be among us. What that means metaphysically, the poor in consciousness, the poor in thinking will always be among us. And this world is abundant, has enough food for everyone. The problem is the distribution. We just don't distribute it correctly. In this city alone, and I tell this story, go in. I went in one time to Whole Foods. Apples and oranges and everything was stacked almost to the ceiling. There was that much food. And that's only one store. That's only one store. This thing called God produces all that abundance. Produces all that abundance. You have to know that this is an abundant world that you live in, an abundant universe that you live in. Abundant, abundant. This world, this planet that we live on, is absolutely paradise. It has everything that we need, and we have to know that. Years ago, I learned this. A world that produces flowers cannot be hostile. If you want a hostile world, move to the moon, move to Mars. That's hostile. This world we live in is not hostile. Don't allow the world to tell you that it's a hostile environment that you're living in, that it's a dog-eat-dog environment. That's not the attitude that you want. That's not the attitude that's going to get you what you want. Abundance, abundance everywhere. And when you go into those places and you see all that, remind yourself, oh my goodness, there's abundance everywhere. There's abundance everywhere. You have to do that for yourself. That is how you build a consciousness. That is how you build your consciousness. I didn't always see those things. I didn't see abundance and so forth. I grew up in a family of lack and limitation, for goodness sake, like most people. You know, I had a father who said, "What do you think? Money grows on trees? Could I have a new pair of shoes? Do you have a pair of shoes?" "Yes, I do." "Well, then why would you want two?" You see? That was lack and limitation. They didn't know that they were teaching lack and limitation. They were repeating what their parents taught them. You do not have to do that anymore. You do not have to be a puppet of your conditioning. You can break out of that. But you break out of that on your own, and you break out of that by seeing abundance everywhere. Abundance everywhere. Okay. Being peaceful is an inner attitude that you can enjoy when you've learned to silence your incessant inner dialogue. Incessant inner dialogue. You must learn to silence that voice that keeps telling you that the world is bad, that people are bad, that this is happening, that illness is everywhere, that things are falling apart. All the stuff that you hear, you have to let that go. You have to let that go. That's why we don't listen to the news. I haven't listened to the news in 20 years. Because it's the same news that they were telling me 20 years ago. That the news never changes, just the names change. Don't do it to yourself. That's no way to build a prosperity consciousness, is to watch the news, because what are they going to tell you? All the bad things that are going on. The bad things that are going on that they report in the news is 5% of what's going on in the world. But they repeat it enough times and you're convinced that it's 100%. Go to the 95% and see all the wonders that are going on, and not all that other stuff. You must practice becoming and being the vibration you desire. Practice becoming and being the vibration you desire. You have to practice that. Everything is practice. Practice, practice, practice. In Science of Mind, Ernest Holmes says, practice the presence of God. Practice the presence of God. See that presence. Feel that presence all around you. And here again, if that word offends you, or if you think that's something, change it to something else. Change it to what you can accept. It will not hurt God in the least, I can assure you. Your thoughts literally determine who you are. Your thoughts literally determine who you are. Remember, it was Henry David Thoreau who said, "A man becomes what he thinks about all day long." What are you thinking about? Are you holding yourself in the highest of esteem? Are you able to change your attitude? Are you able to continually hold yourself in this esteem? Do you know that you are worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter? You must learn to matter, not to this thing called God. You must learn to matter to yourself. Learn to matter to yourself. It's your life. You can do anything you want with it. So it's a choice. How do I choose to present myself? How do I choose the thoughts that I want to think? Choose the correct thoughts. Learn to think rightly, and your whole life will change. Change your attitude. Change your life. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I. And there ends the lesson. Thank you.